Okay, Shkoyach, thank you to Arik and Bianca, wherever she went, for having us here. We appreciate it, and Shvi Zocha to Refuah Shlema for your mother, and Yeshuos, and good things for your family, and more Habartas Torah for all of us. Shkoyach, everybody, for coming. Okay, so I'm going to start. The first person that goes is always the one that you never know who's going to be there. The people come late or whatever. But shkoyach for coming on time. I wanted to talk about a number of different things that have to do with Sfiras HaOmer. I think a lot of us know the basic halachos of Sfiras HaOmer, so I'm going to do a combination. I think the title of what I wrote was Things About Sfiras HaOmer That You Never Knew. So I don't think it'll be things that you never knew, but hopefully it'll be some things that are maybe some things that you knew already, and hopefully a couple things that you were not aware of, both things that are practical and maybe things that are also practical, but maybe not practical in our immediate lives. But hopefully it'll be an interesting mix of different things. Feel free to pipe in with questions and answers or whatever. I put together like 14 or 15 different things here. We are not going to get to all of them, but we're going to see. However many we get to, will be interesting. And if you want to know what the rest of them are, you can ask me afterwards. All right, I also don't know if this is in any specific order. I just put down the things that I wanted to have more of a chance of actually getting to. I put them first, but the order might be a little bit random. If you have your Mishnah Berurah, you're welcome to open it up. We are in Chelek Hei. Chelek Hei is the section that deals with Hilchos Pesach, as well as Hilchos Yom Tov. And Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer is right after Hilchos Pesach, because the first day of Sfiras HaOmer is, of course, Pesach. So you can open up to Siman Tav Pei Tet, which is titled Seder Tfilat Lil Sheni Shel Pesach U'Sfirat HaOmer. And again, we'll be jumping around and looking at a couple different things in here, and I'll give you some of the additional points which are interesting, which are not necessarily found in the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, which this sefer called the Piskei Teshuvos, which is tremendously helpful for, really an amazing sefer of halacha, and highly recommended for everybody if you don't want to own one, but you should know they have it in the library. Tav Pei Tet. Okay. All right. First point. This hopefully is a basic point that everybody is somewhat familiar with, but the understanding behind it might be something that you may not be familiar with. Siman Tav Pei Tet is just like the chapter number. Okay, the first point is going to be actually all the way up to Sif Chet. All right, not at the beginning, Sif Chet, right in the middle of the section. So the question is here, famous halacha everybody has heard of, what happens if you forgot a day, if you missed Sfirat HaOmer for the day? Has everybody found it? Yeah. Okay, Siman Tav Pei Tet, Si'if Chet. Right? Got it? Okay. Again, the topic here is what happens if you forgot to count Sfirat HaOmer for one of the days? Chas v'shalva. I'm not saying anybody here ever did this, of course, but if your wife did, no, I'm just kidding. If you ever forgot, or somebody in your family forgot. What'd you say? So the apps don't work on Shabbos, that's the problem. That's when we've noticed.
And when you're traveling.
And when you're traveling, exactly. Yeah. Good, there you go, you got it. So that's when you have to have a little help. Anyway, so Shulchan Aruch says, Im shachach levarech becha me'ayam. If you forgot to say Sfirat HaOmer, one of the days, bein miyom arishon, bein mishar yamim, either the first day or all of the days, any day, so for mishar yamim below bracha. Okay, so you got to count the rest of the days without a bracha. I think that is something that we're all familiar with. The question is why? And this is an important point because it determines a lot of other halachas, some one or two of which we'll mention, some of which we won't. The basis for this question, anybody know what it is? Well, what is the basis for not counting the rest of the days with a bracha if you forgot one day? That's the question, okay? Is Sfirat HaOmer one big mitzvah composed of 49 parts, or is Sfirat HaOmer 49 different mitzvahs that every single day is a separate mitzvah? So it's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Most Rishonim hold that it is 49 separate mitzvahs. That's what Tosfos says in Menachos. That's what most of the Rishonim say. The only Rishon who says otherwise, the main Rishon, and there might be one or two others, but the main Rishon who says otherwise, says it's only one big mitzvah is, anybody know who it is?
Rambam?
No. Good guess? I mean, not definitely. The Bahag. The Baal Hilchot Gedolot, who wrote a Sefer Mitzvot of his own before the Rambam came along. And the Bahag basically is the big one who says, is quoted as saying that it's all one big mitzvah. So if it's one big mitzvah, and you missed one part of the mitzvah, because you missed one day, then the whole mitzvah is gone. Right? So he's the one that says that if you miss, then you're finished. Okay. So based on that, would you say? Correct. So again, there are a lot of points of Sfiras HaOmer which we're not going to get to tonight. I'm trying to jump around and do interesting things. Is Sfiras HaOmer midorais or midorabanan today? So the answer is, anybody? It's machlokas, but you're right. Most posts can hold that as derabanan. Okay, the big one who holds that as deraisa, anybody? Is the Chaim?
Rambam,
there you go, now you got it. Right answer to the wrong question. Excellent. So the Rambam holds that Sfiras HaOmer is deraisa bizman hazeh. Most posts can hold that it's only midorabanan. Once we mention that point, I guess we'll jump to a different point I was going to mention later, but since I don't know, we'll get to it. So a big problem with those who say the hinani muchanum zumans. What's the problem with hinani muchanum zuman? Anybody know? It's very nice. So the problem is the hinani muchanum zuman says that I am ready to be mekayim the mitzvas aseh of sfiras haomer, as it says in the Torah, which sounds very much like it's daraisa, but yet most of the poskim do not hold that way. So therefore, many achronim say, not all, but many achronim say that if you're going to say the hinani muchanum zuman, which is not a requirement, it's more for people that are chassidish or nesach sfar or whatever. Personally, I do not say it. But you should think it even if you don't say it. But again, that's another discussion which we're not going to have time to get to now. But you don't have to say it. So the problem is it says that it's deraisa. So many achronim say that maybe it's best to leave out that line of mitzvahs aseh. Just say that it's a mitzvah. And then when you say that it says it in the Torah, you know, that's sort of like a remez. It's like a hint, an allusion, a reference. It's not an actual deraisa. Personally, that's what I would recommend. I'm a stickler for these kind of things, so I would recommend if you're going to say the Hinei Mucham Zuman, don't say that it's a mitzvah saseh, because we don't usually pass in that way. There have been some that have defended the custom. Which they? All right, if that's the worst thing that happens to you, you'll be all right. All right, you won't sing with all the Israelis who sit in Ashtar. It's a big thing in Israel, and more of a big thing to sing here. But again, I mean, those of us who don't say Hinani Mucham Zuman and any other mitzvah that we do, it's a little strange to say it only on this one. So that's what you have to think about a little bit. Those that say it all the time, you know, obviously you should say it here also. But most of us don't say Hinani Mucham Zuman and many of the other mitzvahs that we do. And then it's nice to say it here, but whether it's really necessary, and, you know, personally, my personal minhag is not to say it. But that's not, we don't have time for that part now. But again, you know, to leave out the word mitzvah aseh, just say that it's a mitzvah, whatever it is. There are those that defend the custom and say that maybe what it means is, you know, it was a mitzvah saseh in the original form. Now it's not a mitzvah saseh, but, you know, we're referring to the idea that at one point the basic mitzvah is a mitzvah saseh, even if the way that we're doing it now is not a mitzvah saseh. Okay, that's an answer. It's an answer. You know, personally, I think it's a little stretched. So I recommend not saying at least the word mitzvah saseh, but again, you know, that's it's your choice. Definitely everybody else says it, so you don't have to listen to me. All right, back to the point we were talking about before. So again, according to most, we're talking about a mitzvah derabanan. According to the Bahag, you have one mitzvah of 49 different parts. So according to him, if you missed one part, then you're finished. Now, here's the thing, okay? Well, let's say that you said Sfiras HaOmer during the daytime. What's the halacha? Meaning if you forgot at night, but you said it in the day. No bracha. What do you do the next night?
With a bracha.
Okay, why is that? So again, the Mishnah, we're not going to read it inside now, but in the Mishnah Berurah, they explain all this. The point is that you know, in deference to the Bahag, so we say it in the daytime without a bracha, okay? Because the Bahag says it's already not a difference to the Bahag. Others say that you can't say it during the daytime. You're not the Bahag. Others say that if you say it during the daytime, it's too late. You got to say it at night, at the beginning of the night. So in deference to that opinion, so we say that during the daytime you shouldn't say it with a bracha. Okay. However, if you missed it completely, meaning if you forgot the whole day, you missed the night and you missed the day. So then, again, most poskim would still say you could say it with a bracha because most poskim hold that it's 49 different parts. So every night it would be with a separate bracha. However, in deference to the Bahag, so in terms of that point, we say it without a bracha. Okay, because the Bahag says that it's not a mitzvah anymore. You messed it up already. So therefore, in deference to the Bahag, we do not say a bracha. However, again, just understand that most poskim say that you still, Sfiras HaOmer is still a chiyuv even if you missed a day. So therefore, don't, you know, you or other people in your family, if it happens to them, don't say, oh, well, it's finished, there's no point in saying Sfiras HaOmer anymore. That's not true. Okay? What is true is that you should say Sfiras HaOmer, and it's still a mitzvah, and according to most poskim, you definitely should still say it, and some would say even with a bracha. Again, we don't paskin that way, but the point is that you still say Sfiras HaOmer. Don't make a bracha, but the Mishnah Berurah points out, and this is in Sifkat Alon Zayin here, if you look at Sifkat Alon Zayin right on the Shulchan Aruch we just mentioned, so he says, what we just said, L'chush l'man d'amr d'sfiras shabbat 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 t'mimos b'inan, that it's got to be complete, and you missed a day, v'haleka, you're missing a day, v'hachas yirchad yoma, you missed a day. But then he says, v'nachon b'zeh sheishma bracha min ha-shatz. It's good to hear the bracha from the shliach tzibur. Okay? Meaning, it's better, if you missed a day and you're not making the bracha yourself, it's good to hear from somebody else. Omi yachon miyam v'archem. V'yane amein, and should answer amein b'chavana. Okay? And then afterwards you say the sfiras somewhere on your own. Okay, that's point, I guess, one and two and three. Okay, we talked about missing the daytime, we talked about hinani muchanum zuman, we talked about sfiras HaOmer d'oraisa. Any questions before we move on?
Hypothetically speaking now, of course.
Of course.
If the wife, let's say, missed the day,
yeah.
Is it better for you then to wait until you see your sukkah over and not doing it mara, but do it at
all? Right, we'll get to that. So I'll jump around. Good. All right.
Down,
okay, that's fine. No, it's good. Okay, next question, which was going to be my, I think, third or fourth, but it's fine. We'll mention it now. So Sfiras Omer is an important mitzvah. Okay, we know it's an important mitzvah according to Moses Darabon. When do we say Sfiras Omer? What point of the night? If we say it at night, when do we say it at night?
After
Tase. So, okay. So here's the thing. So it's usually assumed, this is what most of the Rishonim say, that because it says Sheva Shavatot Tmimot, it should be complete, that the best thing to do is to say it as early as possible, because you want every night to be complete from the time you make the bracha and say Sfiras HaOmer. That should be as early on and in the night as you can, so that it should be as much as possible a complete day of having been counted as your day of Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, that's what the Ran, a lot of the Rishonim, seem to say that point. The question is, when do most of us say Sfiras HaOmer? When is the accepted practice to say Sfiras HaOmer?
When in Marv?
After Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, why don't we say before Shmoneh Esrei? Why don't we say the beginning of Marv? Anybody know? A famous principle of halacha, which I'm sure you all know.
It's more usual.
Exactly. Excellent. Thank you. Tadr v'she'eno, tadr kodem. Okay, what is two mitzvos? One is more common, one is less common. So we almost always say the more common mitzvah first. So between Sfiras HaOmer and Ma'ariv, Shmoneh Esrei, Kriya Shema, certainly Shmoneh Esrei and Kriya Shema are more common, and therefore we say them first, and we only say Sfiras HaOmer after Ma'ariv.
Wait, what's the thing? Hold on.
So now, if you jump back in your Mishnah Berurah, if you have one, if you jump back to the very beginning of the Siman, okay, back to Sif Aleph. So in the Mishnah Berurah and Sif Aleph, in Sif Katan Bet, if you can find it, again, Siman Tav Pei Tet, Siman Katan, Sif Katan Bet. So he says here, the Shulchan Aruch says, Achar Tfilat Arvit, after Ma'ariv, you say it. And the Mishnah Berurah and Sif Katan Bet says, V'kodem Aleinu, you say it before Aleinu. Why? As much as we can make it earlier, we make it earlier. Meaning the earlier we can make it, the better it is. So that you can fulfill as best as possible what it says, Tmimos Tiyana should be complete. So therefore, we just explained now why Shmoneh Esrei and Kriya Shema are going to come before Sfira, because they're more common. But Aleinu is not really part of that special mitzvah. Aleinu is part of the davening, but it's not on the same level as Shmoneh Esrei. So therefore, we say Sfira HaOmer before Aleinu. Good. The question is, so this is what's interesting. The question is, if you're supposed to say it as early as possible in the night, so then, what are we doing? So let me tell you this. So some Achronim say that the best thing to do is during Sfiras HaOmer, you should daven Ma'ariv early. Interesting. They say the best thing to do is daven Ma'ariv at 7:45 or 7:50, whatever time Ma'ariv is these days, so that you can count your Sfiras HaOmer as early as possible. Then you have no problems. You said Shmoneh Esrei and Kriya Shema first, you said Sfiras HaOmer afterwards, and you still said it early. However,
it's not as early as possible.
But that's not true, though.
It's not to me.
Some people say what you're saying also, Shmuel, but most people don't say that. That's what's interesting. Okay? You may not have realized that. That's why I said the title of this year. It's things you may never have known. So it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that it's for every night, it's got to be as early as possible. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that it's got to be early on in the night, but that's what a number of the Chidah says that. I figure a few other Achram say that as well. Better to daven Ma'ariv earlier. But yet, how many of us actually do that? Raise your hand if you go to the 750 Minyan here. Not I. Nobody. All right. 8 o'clock. Okay. So the question is,
do you need a minion to count Sfira anyways?
Good.
Why should you do it before a minion?
Okay. So then the next question is, even if you daven at 10:30 or 10 o'clock or 9:30, whatever, like I often do, maybe you should say Sfiras HaOmer as soon as it gets dark, right? At 8 o'clock, say Sfiras HaOmer. So what's the answer? So this is the Piskei Tshuva. Has a nice little piece on this. I saw this. Rav Rimon also had a nice piece on this in one of the Shabbos bulletins, I think a year or two ago. They all say the same thing basically, which is as follows. They basically say that when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, number one, if you have a set minyan that you daven at, which is later, so it's better to stick with your set minyan. Okay, don't start switching around minyanim. In my case, it might be a set 3 minyan. I might daven either at the 9:30 minyan, or the 10:15 minyan, or the 10:45 minyan. I think that's also a count. I didn't see that inside, but I would guess that also counts. If you have two or three set minyanim that you always daven at one of them, and that's later in the night, so then presumably that should also be fine. We don't want to make you go messing around minyanim. Stick with the minyan that you usually go to. As for why you shouldn't say Sfiras HaOmer earlier, so the answer is, there's something special, this is what a number of the Achronim say, something special about saying Sfiras HaOmer with the Tzibur. Okay, it's best to say what we call Barov Am Hadras Melech. Sfiras HaOmer could be done by yourself, but it's better if you all do it together. Okay, and you think about it, when everybody in the shul is saying Sfiras HaOmer at the same time, you feel it, you feel the koach, hopefully, if you're tuned into it. So based on that, many of the poskim say that it's better to say it with your minyan that you usually go to, and say it at the end of davening with everybody else, and not to say it earlier in the evening by yourself. The other point is also, let's think about what would happen if you said it, if your practice was to say it at night by yourself before everybody else. So what happens? You forget one night. Okay, this happens all the time. Just ask your wives. All right, and we'll get to that in just a minute. If you're not saying it with a group of people, you're not saying it at a set time for Maariv, there's a good chance that one of the 49 days you're going to forget. So based on that also, it's better to keep saying it at the specific time that it's said with everybody else at Shul with a min to ensure that it's not forgotten. Okay, that's essentially the idea. There's a few other points also, but that's the basic idea. Any comments on that before we move on? No. Okay.
Does that mean you shouldn't daven early Shabbos?
Great question. The answer is no, you can daven early Shabbos if you hold that it's okay the rest of the time. It's certainly okay now also. However, did you ever daven early Shabbos?
Yeah,
recently, like
yeah.
Okay, so if there's a good gabbai, what does he say at the end of davening? Moshe. Right, the gabbai will tell you make sure to repeat Sfiras HaOmer after Tesa Kochavim.
You need to come to my house.
Preemptive.
You got to remind yourself. That's
a reminder doesn't count.
Now that's when you have a good neighbor to daven. But the regular time.
There you go.
Not from the door.
All right.
So, just America, he
yeah, he's good. All right, you have to be careful. If you really think you're going to forget, you have to be careful. It may not be worth your early Shabbos if you're going to forget Kriya Shema and Sfiras HaOmer at night.
Shalom by it.
In a town like this, you should use that speaker system for more than just
a. Yeah, it's too early though. The speaker system is too early for. Right. Oh, you mean every night?
Yeah.
Too much money. I'd probably waste the money.
They actually on television. I remember many years ago, they had TV. They announce it on the commercials on TV.
Really? Wow!
Wonderful. I believe the bus is in your shalayim.
Really? I haven't seen that. Really? I haven't seen that. But I'll look again. Okay, great. Okay, let's move on. We haven't gotten too many points yet. Next point. What's the story with women saying Sfiras HaOmer? So the answer is, should women say Sfiras HaOmer? Can women say Sfiras HaOmer? The answer is
yes.
Absolutely. They should absolutely say Sfiras HaOmer. Are they required to? The answer is probably not, because it's a mitzvah seishazman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Women are not obligated to do time-bound mitzvahs, but it's certainly a nice thing to do, definitely worthwhile and appropriate to say Sfiras HaOmer if possible. The big question, meaning the more... What? What did you say? The big question is, do you make a bracha? Do women make a bracha? So here we have a whole discussion about whether you should make a bracha or not. The Magen Avraham seems to say that women should have accepted upon themselves to say a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah is in Sifkat and Gimel, right after the one we just did. If you look at the next one, he says, Nashim avadim p'turos mitzvah zu, dav mitzvah shazman grama, like we just said. The Kasav Magen Avraham, miyu kfar shavi alaya chova, the women already accepted upon themselves the obligation of Sfiras HaOmer. But the Mishnah Berurah says, v'chamadu adim dinasir lo nagi nashe klal ispor. The Mishnah Berurah says, in his time, in his area, the women didn't count at all. Not only did they not make a bracha, they didn't even count. And then he says, v'kasav b'sefer shulchan shlomo, even if they're going to count, they shouldn't make a bracha. Why? They're going to make a mistake. And most of them don't know the meaning of the words. They won't know what they mean. So today, let's update this to Tav Shinayin. All right. So concern number two of the Shulchan Shlomo, I would venture to say, in most places, I do not think is a concern. As far as I can tell, I think most of the women today know Hebrew. Certainly, even not in Israel, but certainly in Israel.
Could be relevant to people in America in general.
Okay, very good. But anybody who's going to
speak Hebrew,
anybody who's going to say Sfiras HaOmer, I think knows Hebrew. So that's not really a problem. The first one is a question. They're certainly going to make a mistake. It is true, as we mentioned before, people that don't go to a minyan, there's much more of a chance they're going to mess up. So this is a bottom line. This is machlokas achronim. Okay, some people say, like the Mishnah Berurah, that women that count sfira should not make a bracha because there's almost a definite concern that they are going to mess up and miss a day. And if they miss a day, then maybe it's a bracha levatala. And others, including the Aruch HaShulchan and a number of other poskim, say no, that it's perfectly fine until they mess up. You know, the minhag is like the Magen Avraham. Women can count. Women can make a bracha, no problem. And to make it better, the best thing to do is for the husband to remind them as well, or to get the app. And the nights the app doesn't work, such as Friday night, Shabbos, when you're traveling, and you do whatever. So make sure try to what?
How do you bracha levatala if they forgot one night?
According to the Bahag, you messed up the whole mitzvah.
According to the Bahag, there should only be one bracha total.
Okay, so that's a good question. We don't have time for that now. All right, we'll have to leave that for now. Okay, it's a bracha with maybe different parts.
Is this a general rule for grammar?
That what?
That women should do them, even though...
No, it's not that they should do them, it's that they can do them if they want to, and it's a good thing to do mitzvah. It's always a good thing to do mitzvah.
It's like sitting in a sukkah.
Yeah, women are exempt, but it's good. It's good to be sit in a sukkah if you can. Okay. What the Magen Avraham was saying is a little more than that. He says that the women accepted upon themselves as an obligation to do so, but that I think has not been the case today, at least in our custom. But what has been the case is, you know, many women that do it do make a bracha. So, my wife included, by the way. So again, if you're going to do that, it's nice to make sure to try to have a reminder to try as best as possible not to mess up. Okay, we're not going to get to all my points here tonight. I think we got to four or five. Let's do one or two more, and then I'll let.
Should the husband if his wife
So back to our question before. The answer is no. The husband should daven in shul and say svirasa with everybody else, but he should try to remind his wife if she doesn't have an app or if she doesn't have internet. God forbid. No, whatever. Yeah.
What about if two things? First, in terms of being guilty, somebody who missed. A night often will ask, like, somebody who's still saying.
Okay, so that was one of the points that I was going to get to.
Between husband and wife, if the wife is saying the bracha and she misses the night, should the husband not say it shul to come back to say a bracha?
No, I don't think so. No. She'll always say it shul.
If the husband forgot, can he be yotze with his wife's bracha? I guess you say I mean either way, but
I mean, we hold that you shouldn't be yotze the mitzvah itself with somebody else, even though it could be you could do that also, but certainly for the bracha, I think you could do that. Okay, let's see if we can get to one or two more points.
It's not
the mitzvah, it's just the bracha.
But still, the chiyuv is different, though.
Yeah, but to hear the bracha and say amen, you're right, the chiyuv is different. You're right. I guess it needs a little more discussion than that. You're correct. Okay. I'm sorry. Time for that now. Okay. The one or two other points before we wrap up here. In terms of a couple of questions of sfeikos, so if you're not sure if you said it the previous day, okay, meaning you missed the whole day, but you don't know, it could be you said it, you don't remember. The halacha in that case is that the Shulchan Aruch says you do say it, you continue to say it with a bracha afterwards. Why? As we said before, most poskim hold that every day is a separate mitzvah. It's only for the Bahag, and if it's only for the Bahag, and maybe you said it anyway, so it's enough to go on that you can continue with the bracha. Okay? Yeah, exactly. Very good. Okay? If you remembered, and this has happened in our house before, you remembered Banish Mashas, you remember during twilight, okay, between Shki and Siskachavim, can you say Sfiras Omer then and then be able to continue counting the next night with a bracha? The answer is many posts, machlokas, many posts will hold that you can, at least for the first 15 minutes or so, okay, meaning if it's the classic Banish Mashas, which is about 15 minutes, so during that time, you would be allowed to still count Sfir without a bracha and then continue the next night with a bracha.
The same concept, the message that you welcome Shabbos early.
So that's my last point. It was yes, so many posts, most posts can say that in that case also, you can still say from the day before because the day is still Friday. Even though we accept Shabbos early, the day is still Friday. There may be some that disagree, but most posts say that in that case also you could do that.
So just to be clear though, you're talking about you haven't said Sfirat HaOmer on Thursday night, so you can say it Banish Mashas.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Two more points. The Nisach of Al Sfirat HaOmer. So we say Hayom Yom blank 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 Ba Omer or La Omer? Two different minhagim. So Nisach Sfard generally says La Omer, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah actually says, by the way. I believe the Mishnah Berurah is Nisach Sfar, though I'm not sure, but I have a few hints to that in different places. It seems that the classic minhag Nisach Ashkenaz, which you may not realize, the classic minhag Ashkenaz is to say Ba Omer. That's what the Ramah says, that's what the Vilna Gaon says, and that's what most of the regular Ashkenazi Sidurim, Nisach Ashkenazi Sidurim say. So even though here in Eretz Yisrael you'll find many people saying La Omer, it's from Nisach Sfarad, and probably if you daven Nisach Ashkenaz, probably it's better to say Ba Omer. Though again, it's not definitive. You can continue to say La Omer if you say La Omer. It's not absolute, but it seems to be that the proper Nisach for Nisach Ashkenaz is to say Ba Omer. Okay. Again, I'm not giving you a Psak Halacha. I'm giving what seems to be the more correct thing.
Anybody hold that either one is like really?
Everybody agrees that they're fine. Okay, both agree that you're Yotze. The question is, and some say you do both. Some say you should repeat it. Do one with Ba Omer, then repeat it again and say La Omer. Interesting.
Two brachas.
Yeah, no, two brachas, just one bracha, and you say it, you say both. Okay, our last two points here. Number one, an interesting point which we don't have time to discuss, but basically, what happens if somebody becomes bar mitzvah during the period of Sfiras Omer? Before that, he did not have the chiyuv, you know the answer, right? Okay, before he didn't have a chiyuv of an actual mitzvah, so the was not bar mitzvah yet, and then afterwards he has a real chiyuv. Can he make a bracha after he becomes bar mitzvah? The answer is, you know, remember?
He said yes.
So the answer is it's a machlokas, but you're right. The pesach halacha of most poskim is what we generally follow today is that assuming that he was saying Sfiras Omer before that every night, then he can continue to do so after bar mitzvah with a bracha. Mm-hmm. Okay, if he didn't say every night before, it's a machlokas, and then already most poskim say maybe not. Some say that then also he could still do it, but most poskim say that in that case that you should not make a bracha. Last point, okay, this is, I don't think it's relevant for any of us here, but it's interesting. International dateline, okay, y'all know this question. What happens if you pass over the international dateline during Sfira and you somehow maybe miss a day or add a day, say have the same day again? an interesting machlokas among the poskim, what to do in this situation. There's different shitas about it, whether you can continue to say Sfiras HaOmer with a bracha, whether you stay the rest of the time without a bracha if you missed a day. The bottom line is that it probably doesn't matter so much. Here, for Eretz Yisrael, it's rarely going to happen, because here, if you're going to the Far East, you're not going to cross the date line. And if you go to America, you don't cross the date line. It's really more going from America to the Far East or to Australia, back or the other way, that this is really an issue. So in that situation, most of the time, even if you miss a day, if you go towards Australia from, let's say, Los Angeles, so I think there also, if you skip 24 hours, you'll still be during the next day. So you should still be able to say Sfira without a bracha. I mean, let's say it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, and it suddenly becomes 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. So you can't say a bracha, but you could still say Thursday's Sfira without a bracha and continue counting the next night with a bracha. That should be fine as long as you didn't forget. Okay. That's what would happen in most situations, but again, you know, to discuss it a little bit more. There's one interesting sheet of the Lubavitcher Rebbe who holds that the Sfira has to do with your Sfira, not the place where you are. So he said, let's say conceivably, that you went from New York, Los Angeles to Australia and skipped there. The other way around, you don't celebrate Shavuos if you were there for, let's say, 3 months. You don't celebrate Shavuos when everybody else is celebrating Shavuos. You celebrate Shavuos when it's your 50th day. Because it says, Usfartim lachem should take Sfira lekolecha be'achat, the Gemara says. Sfira should be for every single person. Which is a fascinating idea. We don't have time to get into it now. But a really, really interesting sheet that nobody else says that, but Chabad people, I think that's what they do. Again,
save you,
that's...
Save you a 3-day yantif, 2-day yantif. So.
Say it again?
It could save you a 2-day yantif this year.
So. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Don't do it for that reason. Most of the posts will say, by the way, if that, this is going to be the situation, it's better not to try to avoid crossing the international date line during Sfira to avoid some of these questions. But again... What'd you say? Yeah. Okay, then we're going to conclude after that. Yeah.
I don't remember who she thought these were, but living in Australia, every now and then, like someone would give a share on the international.
I'm sure they did, yeah.
The international deadline is not halakhically agreed on.
Correct. You're absolutely right about that. It's a big machlokes.
That basically, the moment you like basically step off the beach,
yes, that's the version of the Chazon Ish. It's the one interpretation of the Chazon Ish.
Correct. Some people don't fly out of Australia on Motzei Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.
They
go to the beach on Motzei Shabbos, right? But the person's often they don't go to the Motzei Shabbos besides that. Right, so that's the Chazon Ish is one that holds it goes through the continent. Okay. And some people say based on the Chazon Ish that if it goes around the continent, then you're right, you can't go off the border of the off the beach all into the water without causing problems with the international dateline. Very good. Okay, that's another shear. Maybe we'll do that Shavuos night. Okay, if you want an international dateline Shavuos night. Maybe we'll do it then. We'll see. Okay. Just to conclude, we have a lot more points here, but I'm not gonna do them now. If you're interested, I'll tell you what they are later. One important one, which we're not gonna get to, but just so you should realize, there's an Isser of Achil. You're not allowed to eat before you say Sfiras HaOmer, which creates questions if you daven late. So some poskim say you can't eat, and some poskim say we generally follow the opinion that says that you can eat. Okay, as long as you go to a set minyan or you have somebody who reminds you, then it's fine. We're gonna stop with that. If you have questions about that point, ask me afterwards. We're going to have Myron after, but this doesn't count as a real meal. They're talking about like a real meal with bread or with a lot of mizonos or whatever. Okay, so just to conclude, Sfiras HaOmer is a very special time. Okay, we know, you know that on the negative end, which I think somebody's talking about here, maybe Rav Johnny, I don't know if you're going to mention it, but we know that there's, you know, a significant amount of mourning during the period of Sfiras HaOmer because of the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. But on the other hand, Sfiras HaOmer in principle, according to the Torah, should be a happy time because we're growing, basically going slowly, slowly to meet the goal of Matan Torah. And of course, you know, if the whole idea of the Sfiros and, you know, of taking it from the 49 levels of Tumah, going down from 49 levels of Tumah up to the level, you know, the 50th level up above of Tara or whatever. So it's supposed to be a time of, you know, working on our Avodas Hashem in many different ways. The time of excitement, of getting closer to Matan Torah, thinking about how we can come close to Hashem, how can we can accept the Torah properly. And some of this gets lost on us, you know, because we have such busy lives, Baruch Hashem, we're doing a lot of good things. But some of these spiritual points, you know, they get a little lost. And it pays to remember in many different ways that the period of Sfiras HaOmer is a period of Kabbalah HaTorah, which, by the way, involves Kabbalah Torah. And the idea of Rabbi Akiva's telling them dying during that time is connected. Maybe you'll mention that. They died, lo nagu debazeh, they weren't knowing covered to each other. They were Talmid Chacham, of course. They were Talmidim, whatever. But you know, all that in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And again, the idea of taking it step by step, one day at a time. Each day is another step in the building block up to 49. Something we should think about and you know, figure out how we can translate this period of Sfiras HaOmer into action in terms of things that we can do during this period to ready ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. Bizocha, we should bizocha be'ezras Hashem to an appropriate period of Sfiras HaOmer with keeping all the halachos of the Sfira as well as all of the hashkafos behind it and be able to accept the Torah in the proper way.